are holding your hands in this manner, and could we turn slightly to the left a little bit? We want to face the Kaaba. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Seek refuge in God against a rejected enemy. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll turn you into the hands of Imam Naeem Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I didn't see him yet. You want me to have him call you when he come in or what? Okay, I got you.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon His servant and His Messenger Muhammad forever. Amen. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we greet you in the distinguished greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. We are very blessed to be with you again today, to stand before you and represent the Mujaddid, the greatest man the world has seen in modern time or near modern time. And that is the teacher of the world community of Islam and the world, the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad. As most of us are aware, the chief imam is over the next few days and for the last few days has been and will be visitors of outstanding government leaders and religious leaders in the East. And he's traveling with the delegation from the world community of Islam, taking the greetings and receiving the greetings and respect from these outstanding religious and world leaders who are bearing witness of the appropriateness and the outstanding leadership which the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad is bringing to the world. So we're very blessed here in the world community of Islam to have him for our official head. Now we know that he can be used as the head for others, but he is our official head. This is where he was born. So we can loan him out once in a while, but this is home for him. And so we are very blessed and very pleased to be able to loan him out and let him take to the rest of the world the beautiful miracle that he's done with the Bilalian community here in North America. So we are very pleased to be able to say that even though he's not physically with us today, we will still be hearing his voice. One thing about modern technology, as the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad has said, technology is not bad in itself. It's the bad mind that take technology that make technology bad. And so we are blessed today to be able to take the telephone wires and the tape recorders and Bell telephone system and hook up the whole country in one central communication of truth. And we're going to do it with total righteousness, and so we're going to take technology and elevate it to the heavens. And so in just a few minutes today, we'll be hearing a special taped address by the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, who's thousands of miles away from here right now. And I don't know what time of day it is over there where he is, but he may be asleep. But we are certainly going to be wide awake and listen to his words as if he were here in person. So before we begin today with our special lecture from the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, we would like to reintroduce to the community here in Chicago a brother who last summer came in to the World Community of Islam and came to visit the mosque and heard the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad's teachings and was so impressed and was so excited. He said, "This is what needs to be heard throughout the world." And he's not a brother who is from the U.S. He's not a brother who's grown up in a Christian society. He's a brother who's grown up in a Muslim society. He's a brother from Iran. And he says, "This is what my people need." And that was a tremendous compliment to us because we thought that we were trying to fight against the forces of Christianity. But he told us that the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad was able to renew not only Christianity, he could renew Islam. And so we are very pleased. The brother has been away in school for the last several months, and we don't want to call on him to talk extensively, but we just want you to see him and greet him and welcome him back again. And this is Brother Saeed Ahmad Abadia, who would like to extend the greeting to you and just tell you a little bit about what he's doing. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and His messenger, Muhammad, forever. Amin. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. It's a pleasure to be here again among you and realize the love that exists among you, brothers and sisters, in the West. As Dr. Akbar mentioned, the teachings of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, the Chief Imam of the Nation of Islam, is spectacular. It can bring light to the world, to the whole world, to the countries that have been stricken by the Western mentality. So I'm pleased to be a help to take the message of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad and present it to my people, to the Persian people in Iran. Nice to be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Saeed is rather modest in his presentation, but we'd like to say to you that the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad has also given him the mission and the job of translating some of his teachings, the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad's teachings, into the Persian language. And Brother Saeed is in the process of translating the teachings of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad into Persian. Let's give him another big hand. So all we can say is, look out, world, we're about to remake you. Now, brothers and sisters, we are not going to delay. We don't have to wait until the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad walks out the door today. All we have to do is snap our fingers, and his voice will come over the air. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to snap our fingers, but we would like to say, particularly to the mosques around the country, at the close of the meeting, there are a couple of very, very important announcements. announcements regarding the local consensus board, an announcement regarding the Savior's Day program that we want you to know about. So please, let's not use our usual procedure of knocking down the door as soon as the chief says, Salaam Alaikum today. We want to stay just for a few minutes. We won't keep you very long, but we think these are messages that everyone should know about because they will clear up some of the confusion regarding some correspondences and questions you've had regarding Savior's Day. So please just remain seated when the Chief Imam has completed his lecture, and at that time we will come before you and give you a couple of these other announcements. So at this time, if our technician in the sky is ready, we would now like to begin our lecture by the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad. The title of the lecture is The Man and Woman Roles in Islam. The Man and Woman Roles in Islam. And we think that those of us who've heard it, we think that you will find it to be a very provocative, a very stimulating, and a very informative lecture. So at this time, we want to listen to the Chief Imam, the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad.
Most gracious, most merciful. May his peace and his blessings forever be upon his slave servant, Messenger Muhammad. Ameen. Dear beloved people, Muslim brothers and sisters, I give you the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. Tonight, we want to speak to you on the woman and man role in Islam. But before going into that, I want to read an article here and also a couple of verses from the Holy Quran. This article here is from the Sun Times, December 12th, 1976. Don't let this beard upset you. It doesn't bother me at all. We have to learn to master everything that's in us and out of us, you see. Child suicide on the increase, psychiatrist reports. The number of elementary school children who commit suicide is rising at a disturbing rate, according to Boston area child psychiatrists. Dr. Peter Saltzman, director of McLean Hospital Children's Center, says children from 6 to 11 most often attempt suicide after a death in the family or separation fall with a relative. The most obvious reason they do it is the same as for an adult, to get back at someone, said Salzman, 37, who specializes in treating youngsters who attempt suicide. They do it to call attention to a very desperate situation, usually to a loss of a loved one. Salzman said the methods the youngsters use follow adult sexual stereotypes. Boys choose violent means, such as hanging,
girls pick pills. Invariably, the pills of a lover to notice her. Desperation is one sign of suicidal tendency in youngsters, Salzman said. Signals of depression are hyperactivity, a failure to make friends, poor school performance, and hypochondria. All these big words, hypochondria is, we have a psychiatrist, I don't have to guess at it. Hypochondria? Yes. Yes. People that are always complaining about being ill, but there's no real illness except in their mind most of the time. A failure to make friends, poor school performance, and hypochondria. Now you know what that hypochondria is. Among 10 and 11 year olds, it might show as delinquency, vandalism, or fighting, so he said. The increasing rate of divorce and separation and such emotional disorders as alcoholism and depression among parents also affect young children's behavior, Salzman said. We have come a long way from thinking it's all the parents' fault. What we are trying to figure out is to what degree the child is predisposed to depression, which means what degree the child has some problems and is likely to be depressed. According to study of Salzman, the study Salzman conducted, about 75 adolescent suicides were officially reported in 1973. The last year his study covered. The last year his study covered. So it's a 75 adolescents, that's youngsters, children and early teenagers. Adolescent, I think, goes 14, 15, something like that. 13, right, to 19, a teenager. Teen and teenagers. Only 3 suicides were reported in 58, he said. So this Sun-Times article shows an increase, reports is telling us that there is an increase. Our suicide among youngsters is on the rise. In 58, only 3, and then in 73, I believe it was 73, yes, 75, They're telling us that things that are counting for this, divorce, quarrels between lovers, between mothers and fathers, and death in the family, the loss of a loved one. These things have been happening all the time. People have been dying ever since we've had people, and divorces haven't been as high as they are now, but people have been fighting each other too for as long as there have been people. Something else is terribly wrong. And what the problem is a whole change of the nature of the people. The nature of people have changed over the years. The people don't have this. What do we mean by nature? You who watch Cup Show, I believe we mentioned nature on Cup Show. We think of nature as being God-given. We say this is the nature of this thing. We think we mean the God-given. For human beings, we don't mean that. Human beings can take on any nature they want to take on. And many times the nature we take on is the nature that we couldn't help. Ourselves against. nature is brought about, well, using the old language of Master Farhad Muhammad, he talked about how a devil was made, you know, the grafting of the devil. And he says, by a process of grafting, says he taught them lies. So in grafting, the victims were being taught lies. So it wasn't just it wasn't a physical grafting, or it wasn't a simple grafting, a mixing of things that are foreign, but also a building of lies into the minds and nature of the people. And if you believe a lie, you're going to have to live a lie. And if you live a lie, you're going to take on the nature of a lie. You see? So animals have nature because their lives are set. They can't change their lives. They have to live the life that the Creator set for them in their organism or in their biological makeup. He has set for them their life. So they live that life and they keep the same nature, right? Dogs, cats, whatever you have, birds, whatever you have, those things keep the same nature. Why? Because they keep the same life. But human beings don't keep the same nature. And it's simply because you don't keep the same life. You can change your life anytime you get ready. And the society changed our lives for us. Society put our mind in one frame and take it out of that and put it in another frame. So if you keep the same frame of mind, most likely you'll keep the same life, the same habits, the same lifestyle. But if your frame of mind has changed, then your living changed too, right? And if you change over a certain period of time, then the habit have become so deeply ingrained into your mind and into your life that it's no more habit, it's your nature. You see? So human beings are not creatures that are governed by natural laws or by instinct. They are governed by mind. The mental makeup governs us. And people who know how to corrupt or disrupt the order of the mind, human mind, can disrupt it, can change the order of the human mind, and give you an artificial mentality, artificial mental makeup, make your mind just the opposite nature of what God intended for it to be. Did God intend for people to be suicidal? No. But the Western world is a suicidal world. It's not just the youngsters who are committing suicide. Suicide is an addiction in the West. The people are just in the habit. They have to kill themselves. Now, there's more ways to kill yourself than to take up a pill or a gun or throw yourself down a cliff or something like that. Anytime you go out and threaten people that you know can kill you, you're committing suicide. Is that right? When you go out threatening and bullying people that you know can kill you, well, that's suicidal nature, you see? And any time a country boasts of how bad it is and attacks anybody just for giving a little crossfire, a little word to them, that shows that the country has a suicidal nature. And there was a time in the history of America when America had a suicidal nature. Everybody that spoke against America was ready to go kill them. Everybody that differed with America was ready to go kill them, you see? Well, this is suicidal nature, suicidal mind, too. And when you look at the whole Western society, you see suicide standing out bolder than anything else in the society. The gambling, the dope, the alcoholism, the crazy sex life, the races, the car races, Russian roulette. All of these things are suicidal manifestations. They are manifestations of the suicidal nature in the society. Now, didn't Jesus commit suicide? Didn't he commit suicide? What else can we call it? According to Christianity, Jesus committed suicide. You know, if he was other than God, then he obeyed his Father. But the Christians say, no, he wasn't just the Son of God, he was God. So if he was God, he committed suicide. You see? Now, if he wasn't God and he was just the Son of God, then he obeyed his Father, who ordered him to kill himself. So his Father is responsible for the suicide, you see. But still he killed himself. Nobody can kill God, can they? All right. So if this was God, who can kill God? So see, you don't think about these things that the Christians tell you. You just accept them and don't pay any attention, you know. You swallow the bait and don't even know the taste. But if you think on it a little bit, God committed suicide in Christianity. He killed himself. They don't say it like that. They say he gave. His life to save the world from sin. Is that right? But if I give my life, especially in a weeping, repentant mind, frame of mind, because it says that he repented over the sins of the world. Is that right? So here is a repentant-minded person. He's worried. He's sad for what he's done. Created a creation that's bad, sinful, blood spillers, adulterers, and sodomic people. So he's worried about all this. Say, okay, I'll get them to be right. I'll go down and kill myself. I'll go down and give my life for their sin. Then they'll love me. Now, isn't this the same kind of mind that this man is talking about? The same kind of mind this man is talking about in these children. He said that they're starving for love. They want somebody to notice them. You see? So they kill themselves to get attention. And that's exactly what the God did in Christianity. The people wouldn't pay any attention to him, wouldn't obey him. He said, well, I'll go down and kill myself. Then they'll love me. See? Oh, mister, now you know Christ didn't commit suicide. The world was wicked and they killed him. You can kill me. I don't have power over life and death. But if I was God Almighty, you couldn't kill me. And if death came upon me, I killed myself. You see? So that's why the book says he gave, because the world can't take the life of God. Can't take the life of God's prophet, our messenger. Why? Because that life is in God's hand. Is that right? God is the protector. So that's why the book says he gave his son, his only begotten son. Because the world can't take from God what is God. You understand? All right. So if he gave it, and if that was him, as many Christians contend, they say, no, Jesus was not only the Son, Jesus was God. They are three in one. So God gave his life to save the world. If that's the case, then that God committed suicide. And whether we accept it like that or not, that's the way it reaches our heart. See, your mind won't deal with it, but your heart understands. Your heart understands that Jesus committed suicide and that he had a suicide problem. He just had to kill himself, you know. not the real Jesus, the false Jesus that the world has given to us, that Jacobite world. I wanted to read this article to tell you something that is evident, been expected, and it's evident now. But we are blessed to have truth today. We don't have to die. But the signs of death over the whole world are very evident. When you look at what's happening in the world today, you see the sign of death. The children committing suicide, the youngsters destroying themselves in one way or another, the old people turning young. I don't mean turning young in a nice way, turning young in a healthy way. I mean turning young in an unhealthy way. Old men with silly teenage minds. Old women with silly teenage minds. Old women trying to tempt young men. Woman ain't nothing but a... a bundle of wrinkles, you know. I couldn't say that what I had in my mind. Just a big bundle of wrinkles. God has forced her to accept the real life that he gave her. And that's the inward life. But she can't accept that. The outward life is gone. The Lord has dried it up. Trying to get her to see you have to give this up, woman, and attach yourself to a higher life before you die, you know? But she just won't detach herself from the lower life. Go and get some silicone and blow that wrinkle up until it attracts somebody. Now, you can't touch it now. It feels artificial, you know. It feels like a sandbag. Old women in their 70s. See a young man and raise his chest up, you know. Yeah, you've seen them. They can be older than that. They got a nice figure, you know, they'll see you in the house. There is something's gone wrong with the world. They used to be saying, whoo, at a young girl doing that. Now, they're the ones doing it. Pitiful. Nothing but foolishness on their mind. Want children toys. What I mean by that, you know, sports cars, fancy bicycles. 98 years old. Want a sports car and a fancy bicycle. And it's okay to want to keep your youth, but it shows that something's wrong with the minds of the people when they want to redress and take on silly mindedness that they left many, many years ago. can hardly talk to your people. Minds are so far away from truth and reality. Say, look, why don't you do this way? Can't hear you. Mind way out somewhere else. You can't get them to see simple things. I watch the habit of our people, not only our people. I watch TV. I think we're picking up a lot of those crazy habits, maybe from TV. We on the subject tonight, don't worry. You know, bring it. Eat, you know, eat the milk, bring the dishes, put them in the sink, right? Don't rake them out no more like we used to do when we were kids. We were kids, we used to take the dish and rake the garbage out in the garbage, you know. Then we put it in the sink. But what they do now, they put everything in the sink. I mean, this is the truth. I know you've seen some of them do this. But, and you know, now we done got so rich, we don't even eat up all our food. Just half a plate of food in the sink. Half a bowl of soup in the sink. Half a roll, slices of bread in the sink. All right? It stays there, right? Until they can't stand it no more. Nigga, go in there and clean up that goddamn thing. Now they can't go in there and clean it up. It's too terrible for them to deal with. They got to holler at the little nigga, you know. Sometimes that's the weak husband. But most of the time it's one of the children that just can't do no better. They have to do what the parents say. So they got to go in there now and dig all that garbage up out of the sink and rake it out. Plumbing bills, too, all that you have to consider, you see. Unnecessary plumbing bills. But all they had to do, as soon as they got to eat, rake the garbage out, go to the sink and run water on the dish. As soon as you get through eating, the stuff is soft. It's soft on the dish. It's going to rinse right off, right? Rinse the dishes off. Okay, that's fast. That's easy. No, but you can't do it that way. Got to let them sit on the table and get hard. Let the garbage get hard on them. And then take them and put them in the sink. Then got to fish in all that garbage for the stopper. Or for the drain, you know, and loosen it up around the drain so the water go down. After water go down, then you got to take all that garbage out. And after cleaning the sink, then wash dishes. And when you get your dish, there's a little dried up this or that on it, you see. Never can get that dish clean. Because they think they're still supposed to wash dishes like they used to do. 10 years ago, they used to just hit it, you know. That's because you just took it off the table. The man just got through eating, you know. You can just hit it. But when it's set up for hours, you can't just hit it. You got to soak it and work with it a while. All right? So they ain't going to soak it and work with it a while. They give you old dish, man, with some old dried up grease on it, a piece of meat sticking on it, you know, some mustard sticking on it or something. Piece of green stuck on it, anything. You're allowed to find anything on it. And can't correct the problem. You see how the minds are deteriorated in this society? Curse. This is a curse. It's a curse on the people. When you can't do the thing that's right for you and do it the right way, and knowing this is the right way and it's easy for you to do this way, then you have a curse on you. We are cursed. Families cursed. Can't talk to each other. Can't communicate. Can't show love and affection. Well, you kiss me first.
Well, you have to apologize for what you did 1968, July the 5th. Don't you remember right after the 4th? I remember. It was right after the 4th. You know what you said about me. You apologize for that nigga. I ain't gonna never act like I love you until you apologize for that. Messed up world. Now look, if this teaching we are getting will give us our minds back, because this world has taken our minds from us. If this teaching will give ourselves back to us, then let me tell you, this teaching is the greatest savior that you've ever heard of. No Christ or nothing else you can imagine is more dear to you than this teaching. Don't let no crazy person take it from you. Keep the teaching. Grow with the teaching. Learn it. Get acquainted with the teaching. Learn something of the teachings every day if you possibly can. You see? Keep your mind growing in this language. Because if you don't, you're going to die with this crazy world. I want to read from the Holy Quran a couple of verses. Then we're going to talk on man and water a little bit. This is read from chapter 6 of the Holy Quran. It's called In Honor of the Cattle, the Animals. Domestic animals, that is, most of them, referring to mainly domestic animals that man have, that carry them around. Not just the cows, it says the cattle, but not just cows. And I'm those domestic animals, sheep, cows, and others. This verse 6 speaks of Allah, and it says, with him are the keys of the unseen, the treasures that none know but he. He knows whatever there is on earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls without his knowledge. Now you think about that. When fall comes, there are leaves falling all over the earth. Not a leaf falls without his knowledge. There is not a grain in the darkness of the depths of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, green or withered, but is inscribed in a record clear to those who can read. Now, look how powerful this verse is. And the commentator here, he said, to those who can read. Now, it doesn't say that, to those who can read. But he added that, to those who can read, for a reason. But here is telling us that Allah knows everything that is going on. Not a single leaf falls from a tree without his knowledge. And if there is a grain in the earth, in the darkness of the earth, he has knowledge of that. And not only that, it is in a record. It says, fi kitabin mubin, fi kitabin mubin, in a clear record, in a clear record. So God is telling us that not only has he created these things that you see, but he has also kept count of everything, and that he is aware of everything. See, there are some people who think a creator is the one who creates, but he's not aware of what he's done, or not aware of everything he has done. So the Holy Quran is letting us know that Allah is one who creates everything and is also aware of every single thing. Nothing escapes him. Now, if nothing escapes Allah from this physical creation that he's made, if no leaf falls without his knowledge, If everything that is happening in the physical world, whether it's a seed in the ground, in the darkness of the ground, if those things are not hidden from him, then we should reflect on our own self and know, too, that all of our deeds are recorded by him, and that he's always aware of everything that we are doing, and every atom in your makeup, he's aware of it. And if anything happened within your makeup without your knowledge, don't think it happened without his knowledge. For if a tree can't drop a leaf without his knowledge, then you should know your mind can't drop a seed without his knowledge. Is that right? Your mind can't plant a seed in the deep recesses of darkness without his knowledge. So this is telling us, just as he's aware of what is going on in his physical world, he's aware of what's going on in your own personal world. And don't think we can deceive the Creator. We can't deceive the Creator. And don't think we have problems that are too big for the Creator. We can't have problems too big for the Creator. These things may escape us, but nothing escape Almighty God. This is what the Holy Quran is telling us. And I wish that you would come into this kind of belief, because it is this kind of belief that really makes you grow into a great person. As long as you think your God is limited, you are going to be limited. But once you realize that your God is not limited, then you won't be limited. Because he can elevate you. He can grow you. But if you think he's limited, then you are not going to trust your own self-development. You say, oh, I can't do that. Why? Because I don't believe God can do that for me. But if I believe that there was a being in creation, an over-creation, who has done all of these things, that is still able to repeat his creation and do the same wondrous works again, then I am not going to face anything that's going to despair, cause me to despair or give up. I'll keep moving ahead. You heard that old song, Nat Cole sung it, and a lot of others, I think. Faith can move mountains. Well, that's a fact. If you don't have faith in yourself, you can't move a grain of sand. And many of the problems that we have in our homes are nothing but grains of sand. But we are too weak to deal with those grains of sand in our home, because we don't have faith anymore in ourselves. We don't have faith in each other. And how can you have faith in someone else if you don't have faith in yourself? You have to first have faith in yourself. If you have first faith in yourself, then you have faith in someone else like yourself. You find people that's always talking negative, pessimistic people, who are saying it can't happen, it can't be done, I don't believe it until I see it. Those are people who are not pitiful because they don't believe in life or in the world. They are pitiful because they don't believe in themselves. I tell you, I've looked at it. I've noticed it. Every chronic complainer, a do-nothing, who's always complaining about things ain't right and things can't happen and there ain't no good in the world, everyone that I've noticed was one that didn't show me any sign that they had faith in themselves. Same old complainer was waiting on somebody else to take care of her. Waiting on somebody else to do things for them that they had all the power to do for themselves if they would just ask. You see? Well, I hope we let Allah come into our hearts. Because that's the only thing that can save this whole world, brothers and sisters. It's Allah. We have to believe in Allah. That Allah has done this world, this work we call the world, and can do it again. That he made life, he can remake life. He designed a human being and gave you intelligence, he can redesign you and give you intelligence again. Holy Quran says, don't you see that he who did it the first time can do it again? It's as simple as that. Now, if you don't believe in Allah, then you don't believe that someone or some being did this. You believe that this happened by itself. Well, if you believe like that, if you believe that the world happened by itself, nobody did it, no intelligence is behind it, it wasn't designed, it's just an accident, it just came like this by chance. If you believe like that, then consider yourself, you are not a creature of chance. You are a creature of intelligence, a creature of willpower. You don't live by chance. You live by intelligence. And without willpower, you can't do anything. If you give up yourself to chance, you know what's going to happen to you. Just sleep tomorrow morning. You got that good job bringing you in 150 or 250 or 350. And say, chance runs everything. And just keep on sleeping, brother, waiting on chance. And somebody had to bring you some soup. And a doctor, maybe. Because you're going to starve to death. And going to be in bad shape. Nobody can live in this world on chance. You have to live by intelligence. Now, if this world happened by chance, if I couldn't be made to believe that, being an intelligent man, and believe me, I pride myself in being an intelligent man. I thank Allah for giving me brain and some sense. My position would still be the same as it is now. If it happened by chance, I'm not a creature of chance. I can't depend on chance. So I have to behave intelligently. Is that right? And I can't do anything without faith. Faith is the first power. Without faith, you can't do anything. We have today many people who have brains. But don't you know our brains are more impoverished today than they were 20 years ago? We are not putting out more brains than we did 20 years ago. Putting out less brains. We are not putting out more qualified people, more professional people, more skilled people than we did 20 years ago. We are putting out less today. Why? Because the will is not there. The will is dying in the people. Why is the will dying in the people? Because the people don't have faith in anything anymore. So can't you see that this teaching I'm giving you is on time? And that is natural as well as divine. Brothers and sisters, it's as plain as day. As plain as day. The problems are so clear before our eyes that we shouldn't even doubt. We should just hear this message and right away it should just click. You should see the light just instantly. You should see the light and never turn back from it. Says, it is he, verse 60, it is he who takes your souls by night and has knowledge of all that you have done by day. It's wonderful. Almighty God tells us here in this verse that don't worry when you sleep. Don't fear to go to sleep. The same one that keeps you alive while you are awake keeps you alive when you are asleep. got people afraid of the dark, afraid to go to sleep. You can't protect yourselves with your eyes open. Look, if the world was existing by chance, the rule of chance would predict death for most of us in this society. The things we have to run up against daily involve risk of life. And if that's all we had to depend on was chance, brother, most of us would be dead tomorrow. Going out here, we'd run into that crazy man. Or when we get home, we'd meet that crazy youngster or that crazy woman. And we'd be dead. But in this old crazy, dangerous world, most of us manage to wake up the next morning. It is because Almighty God is always in control of everything, and He's not going to let things get out of control but so much, just enough to wake us up. Says He takes our souls that night. Now, you know when the person is asleep at night, they're the same person. They haven't lost anything. They weigh the same, look the same, got everything they had when they were awake. But they're almost like dead. Is that right? And this sleep thing is still a mystery to most scientists. Most scientists, the sleep is a mystery to them. See? Now, why? Just that that nothing has happened, the person is only resting, sleeping. And he's not conscious. They have to give us some kind of anesthesia, sedative, to make us sleep. Is that right? They have to put something into us, some drug or something, to make us sleep. But here, just natural causes make you sleep. And you lie there, and you don't know whether you're dead or awake. Dead or asleep. You don't know, right? And you dream. You have experiences so real. Sometimes the experiences you have in sleep are realer than the ones you have when you're awake. I'm telling you, look here, I needed some money so bad once. Look. I had done without money so long until I could only dream about it. When I was awake, I couldn't think about it. It had been away from me just that long. I couldn't consciously bring money back to my mind. I had to be asleep. And look, I dreamed that a lot of money, I did. I dreamed that a lot of money was in my possession. That somebody had brought me a lot of money. And that money looked so real to me when I woke up, I was smiling, I was happy. Look. It took me a little while to get myself together. Look. I mean, after it dawned on me that that was a dream, it still took me a little while to get myself together. God Almighty, why that had to happen to me? That money looked more real. I ain't never seen money look that real. And I knew I had that money. See, so this is a mystery. It's a mystery. How a person can be away from the real thing and have a stronger sense of the real thing than they have when they're with the real thing. It's a kind of a mystery. And Allah has put that in nature to teach us that the physical is not everything, that there are powers stronger than the physical that can produce the physical even stronger than the physical was able to produce itself. But isn't that a fact? It is He who doth take your souls by night and has knowledge of all that you've done by day. By day, He raised you up again, that a term of torment be fulfilled. In the end, unto him will you all, unto him in the end will be your return. Then will he show you the truth of all that you did. So what is this telling us? That in this life you can't see the truth of all that you're doing. You can't see the whole reality in this physical life. Sleep is a sign that there is a higher sense of reality. You understand? And this rising up from sleep and coming into the day is a sign of a great resurrection that's coming. Your whole life is going to be to you like a night's rest. One day. And you're going to wake up and see a new world of reality. And realize that your whole life that you spent